Ain't the only thing that's on my mind, but you get me so excited. Whoa, irreplaceable tattoos from your neck that drop down to your ankle. Drop top in the rain, shawty, you wanna feel good. I wanna feel good too. Don't that make you feel good? You get me so excited.
Shorty wanna roll with a rockstar. Baby, let's go, we can go far. Yeah, watch the stars and go far. Shorty, your body is so exciting. I love when you get on top and you ride it.
Hello, hello. Welcome back. Running back the hits. Sorry for the wait, you know, it's been a while, but very glad to be back. Very happy to be here. Thank you for tuning in. Got Youngest with me, of course. How are you, sir?
Hello, hello. Yeah, you know, something new dropped and got us antsy that we wanted to talk about, so decided to come back. Hopefully we don't take a break this long again. It's funny, right after we pat ourselves on the back for going 3 weeks in a row, we took 3 weeks off.
Now we should be hopefully back to regularly scheduled programming. It's on me. I just started a new job, so took a little bit, but we're back in action. Excited for what we got going today. Been out for a couple days now. New Freddie Gibbs album sold separately. Kind of been the talk of kind of like the hip hop side of music, at least. So excited to talk about it a little bit.
Yeah, we're gonna dig in some Gibbs too. That's a rapper that I think me and Lee have like the same level of appreciation for.
Yeah,
kind of pretty decent fans of him. And yeah, he hasn't released the album in 2 years, which as we go through his career and we talk about, that's a little unorthodox, and there's some things that happened to lead to that point. But you know, glad we waited, because it was worth it. This shit is so special.
Like, very consistent. Gibbs been around, you know, you can hear in his music the way he operates as an artist that he's a product of the 2000s, truly. Kind of starts rapping in the mid 2000s.
Yeah, he's 42.
Yeah.
Like, he's not young, you know? Yeah. Like, he's given this kind of treatment like a fresh new rapper. But I mean, when's the first time you heard Gibbs, you think?
I was late to Gibbs. I would say like 2017 ish. I was pretty late to Gibbs, so, but I mean, yeah, he's a guy who's been around, has had like so many phases in his career. A double XL freshman in 2010, like, and arguably the best freshman class ever. But like, he's been around the block, has had so many phases in his career. It's kind of been wild to see him like really kind of blossom the past couple years, get Grammy nominated, like all that stuff. It's been surprising.
He's really the poster child for like climbing out from independent labels and like managing yourself in a time where no one was really managing themselves and no one was really like putting out independent stuff. Especially the type of music he made, a lot of the independent artists at the time within rap were like more gritty underground stuff, more conscious rap. They didn't want to be tied down to a label for that reason. But for Gibbs, it just seemed like he thought it money-wise, it felt like it was a move he had to make. And funny enough, Sold Separately is his first major label debut.
He even mentions that on the project, on that one song. He's like, everybody else I was on the double XL list, they all had deals but me. Like, it's something that he mentioned, something that he's kind of prided himself on. Obviously, the Jeezy thing has been like a big part of his career. He touches on it on a couple songs here, but
yeah. And honestly, like, I don't really remember the Jeezy thing. I'd heard, I mean, I wasn't as tapped in, I don't think, to that kind of thing, but like, I'd heard Freddie Gibbs in like 2012, around the time that he was working with Jeezy. And I just don't remember that happening. And then he mentioned it on Soul Sold separately. So I went some digging and I looked back and like read some retroactive stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the Jeezy thing, it's been weird because I feel like a couple years ago, it really kind of hit its peak because Gibbs just talked about it a lot. I feel like Jeezy doesn't really talk about it much or just doesn't get asked about it much, but it was definitely something that he definitely seemed bitter about for a while. It was a big part of the stuff he was talking about, but some kind of maturity here when he refers to Jeezy and some other situations. Like,
yeah, I mean, the main thing between those two, it doesn't seem like irreparable. Like, right. like nothing big happened. Nothing between right. them. Like, no one was fucking with someone else's girl. It's right. not like Jeezy and Gucci. Like, no one died in it.
Right.
Like, it was just straight up, Freddie Gibbs thought Jeezy wasn't doing enough when he signed him to CTE.
Yeah.
And Jeezy is like, I did everything I could. I took you on tour. I was shopping you around the labels. Like, no one wanted you. I was putting you on, I think he literally like listed them out. Like, I was putting you on Eminem's album. I was putting you on like 2 Chainz. Like, I was getting people to work with you and things just didn't pan out. I couldn't afford it anymore.
Yep. And it's tough. And like, big props to Gibbs for being able to get out from under that situation. A lot of artists, especially early in their careers, get caught up in deals with artists that don't work out, and they can't get out from under that. I think Black is a guy who comes to mind. I think he was signed to like Flo Rida or some shit when he first started his career, believe it or not. And yeah, apparently that situation was a little bit worse. Like, apparently Flo Rida wasn't doing shit for him. But it is tough to be signed to an artist and it doesn't pan out, and for you to bounce back the way that Drake locking,
Drake locking McConan and Magic
exactly.
Jordan in the basement.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, it's just hard to get out of those situations. So you got to give props to Gibbs. I feel like it all was kind of culminating in this moment. So excited to talk about this one a little bit.
So, I mean, let's talk about Gibbs for a little. Like we mentioned, he apparently released his first mixtape in 2004,
mm-hmm.
Which is 18 years ago now.
Yeah.
He kind of just keeps putting stuff out. I think Straight Killa No Filla is probably the first time he really makes an impact.
Like, I think, probably like some slight buzz. Babyface Killa is probably what really kind of like takes it to another level a little bit.
Yeah, Babyface Killa is the one that you kind of see posted around with like, what's the best mixtape and all this stuff. But I mean, Cold Day in Hell, he got some big people to work with him.
Yeah,
that's really
something consistent with Gibbs too. Like, throughout his career, some of the best people have always just been willing to do a song with Freddie Gibbs. Like, his collaborator list is insane. Like, I don't know if there's really any rapper doing it right now who can boast like the kind of collaborators that he has.
Yeah, I mean, so Cold Day in Hell has a Freeway verse. It has a BJ the Chicago Kid on the intro. It has Jeezy on there, obviously. Got Juicy J, got 2 Chainz, got Dom Kennedy. Like, he's working with like producers like Crit and Justice League and Cardo and Mike Will. Like, he's working with like some bigger collaborators. So he's starting to bubble up, and that's the one I went back to right away. The first time I had heard him was Babyface Killa. Crazy song on there with Kirko Bangs. He's just got like
really good tape.
Yeah, it is a really good tape. But he definitely had a different sound than he does now, and he's matured and like growed into a different zone than he started out as. And I mean, obviously a lot of that has to do with like the time period, his age. Like, he was still relatively young, like in his 20s doing this kind of thing instead of pushing 40 now. And like, he's not gonna come on the scene and start doing the hip-hop that he's doing. Like, I'm trying to think of people at that time that was kind of making the music that he makes now.
Right. I mean, he made perfect sense in theory to be an artist under Jeezy. Like, kind of just the stuff he was rapping about, kind of like that element, a little grit, kind of like some real street shit. Like, he made sense to be under that umbrella. So, I mean, yeah, his sound has definitely evolved. Like, he even has like kind of a trademark flow to me now, like kind of like his little, like the fast rapping flow he does all over this thing. When we get to even tracks, it was kind of cool how like Moneybagg kind of matched his flow a little bit. Like, he has that flow of his, and it, yeah, he's definitely grown into it, you know, as time has gone on.
Yeah. So then he starts doing the albums. I don't know if you've heard the early stuff, like ESGN.
Yeah, pretty much everything past Babyface Kill I've heard, especially this.
Oh, so you haven't heard Cold Day in Hell?
No, I haven't heard Cold Day in Hell.
This might be my hot take, but yeah, I think Cold Day in Hell is better than Babyface Killer for sure.
Really? Okay, yeah, I'm gonna have to check it out
that one.
For sure.
That one is definitely one that needs a revisit.
I'm gonna have to check it out.
187 proof on there, produced by Justice League. Some good stuff.
Yeah.
ESGN comes out. I think this might be the only one I haven't heard. I think I heard a song or two off it. Do you have any thoughts on ESGN?
You know, it's early Gibbs for sure. Like, it's something where if you're trying to get the whole arc of his career, it's maybe something you could check out. But there are definitely moments on there too. I think, you know, something that Freddie showed with this album was like him wanting to be a little more expansive, take some more risk, kind of get out of his comfort zone. I feel like, weirdly enough, even though it's early, there is some of that on ESGN. I don't think it works quite as well as it does because it's, you know, him still being a young artist. But there's a lot on there, some good features as well. Like, again, just something throughout his career, just an ability to work with good artists. So there is some of that, but it's definitely not one of my favorite Gibbs projects.
No, and then he follows it up with another one that, again, like, when we get to it, we'll probably talk about what really the turning point was, but this, I remember Shadow of the Doubt coming out when it came out.
Yep.
And just me kind of being surprised that Gibbs was still kicking.
Yeah.
And I thought it was neat, and I listened to it. Real good song with a redacted artist on there.
Yeah,
there's fucking up the count. Like, there was some legitimate shit on there, but there were times on here it felt funny because it felt like he was trying to crack into the mainstream with it. And there's some electronic beats on here. And if I tell you, like, if I show you Freddie Gibbs now and just like, yeah, he was doing songs with K Trinata and he was doing these songs that had like more of a electronic background to it, you'd look at me kind of crazy because it doesn't really fit him.
Yeah, he had a weird moment where he was doing stuff like this. I mean, it kind of reminds me of like how Vince Staples did the same thing. I think Vince did it a little better, but like,
I mean, Vince did it a little better, but Vince never, like, if you told me right now Vince was doing an album with Alchemist, I'd look at you fucking crazy.
Right.
Like, Gibbs has evolved into a whole different level of rap where experimenting with that stuff just feels completely foreign.
Yeah. Shadow of a Doubt is kind of like Gibbs, he just has like so many stepping stones. Shadow of Doubt was kind of one of those stepping stones to like a really, really big place for him. So definitely important in like the arc of his career.
But he follows it up with what I think is his most underrated work, You Only Live Twice. It's a little shorter EP. It's only like a half hour, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
31 minutes on the dot. It's 8 songs. Crushed Glass is one of my favorite songs from him.
Super interesting project. Obviously, the background of him, like, getting arrested overseas for the assault case, got acquitted on everything related to it, comes home and makes this project. It was like, I that was one of the first stories I remember about Gibbs, believe it or not, was him, like, getting arrested for that overseas and, like, him getting acquitted and just coming home and making the project. That was one of the first like conscious memories I have of Gibbs. And it's a dope project too. Like, again, it's tough to say it's one of his best because he has so many good ones, but yeah, this one is really, really good. Underrated is a good way to put it. I like this project a lot.
Yeah, and it felt like this is the time where he really found his lane. And like you said, maybe it was kind of just a life event that makes him come back and do an album where he resurrects himself as Jesus on the cover.
Yeah.
And to kind of have that mentality that he's reborn and he's coming with a new sound. And I mean, 20 Karat Jesus, Crushed Glass, some of these other records, you can really hear what we end up hearing with the later Gibbs stuff. And it was really his, it wasn't like I said with Shadow of a Doubt, where it was like, damn, oh, that's pretty cool. Freddie Gibbs is still kicking around. It's like, wait, no, Freddie Gibbs is going to start like carving.
Yeah, he's actually making some of the best shit.
Yeah, he's making, he's making some headway for a career.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where, as an indie artist, this is kind of, like, these are kind of the steps you have to take. You know, you have to have Shadow of a Doubt and You Only Live Twice, even his self-titled. Like, you have to have these projects where, on the way to you kind of being an indie underground star, you have to have really good projects to, like, keep your fan base, build it up, and that's one of, like, that's something that Freddie did really, really well. He was able to always make projects to like keep racking up fans, and until like Pinata came, for example.
Yeah, but Pinata, yeah, there's so many people listening right now that are screaming at their phone. Pinata comes out before Shadow of a Doubt. So yeah. Pinata like first starts off with like some EPs early on with Madlib.
Yeah.
Which end up being some of my favorite songs on here, which is weird. I don't know. Yeah. So like that's always why I've been hesitant with I don't want to say I really, really like Pinata. I like all three EPs. What I'm trying to say is like I've always been hesitant to it because I felt like we had it for so long before.
Right.
Before we finally get this full project. And the full project it pays off. A lot, but what do you think about the Gibbs and Madlib collaboration? Because that seems to be like the go-to when people want to talk about producers and rappers.
Yeah, I mean it's such a wild connection. And I mean he has it with Alchemist too, but you know, the Madlib thing has just been building for so long, like again, damn near a decade at this point. And their connection is so, so lethal, dude. Like, Pinata is just, and you know, this is the one that kind of comes out, really hits with like critical acclaim. And this is where it kind of comes from. Oh, you're kind of just this underground guy. We're talking about you on blogs and people are liking you kind of like on a street level, to not NPR, Pitchfork. Like, you're kind of getting that recognition amongst larger publications. And I mean, yeah, the Madlib connection is just amazing. Pinata, I mean, classic album in my opinion, like one of the best hip-hop albums of the 2010s. And yeah, this is really when it launches for Gibbs a little bit.
Yeah, but it doesn't necessarily get him off the underground just yet.
Yeah,
you know. Yeah, and that's kind of something I want to stress, because Gibbs, like we said, kind of just this underground, like your favorite rapper type. And he like wanted to do this sound where he wants to be like MF Doom, and works with a producer that Doom worked with a lot.
Yeah.
And kind of create this stuff. And I mean, it works. It's great. I think his career ended up taking a little different turn after this, which is what makes Shadow of a Doubt interesting. It's what makes the self-titled one, Freddie. I think Freddie's really when things started to turn for him, and a lot of it had to do with his persona.
And his
personality. He's a very personable guy.
There is a thing where when you're Freddie Gibbs and you're doing, you know, what you're doing before Pinata, and you make Pinata, and Pinata is what it is, you kind of have to make like a decision as an artist, because like, okay, there are eyes on me now. People are kind of tapped into me. What do I want to do next? And he could have done a lot of different things, different from Shadow of a Doubt, and maybe like got more recognition instantly. But to continue with kind of sticking to what he is as an artist, like the slow like build to just do what he wants to do, is commendable. You got to commend him for that, for sure.
Yeah. And now we're moving to Freddie. Like I was kind of mentioning, the first thing with Freddie, I think I saw, and I think a lot of people saw, was just the album cover, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Just this old R&B look. He releases like an infomercial for the album, like a trailer. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
A trailer for the album that's kind of like an infomercial. I mean, the cover is a direct ripoff of Teddy Pendergrass album.
Yeah.
Which why he just calls it Freddie. And like people kind of were confused. They thought Gibbs was going to start doing like singing and like make this R&B stuff or at least some slower stuff. And right out the gate with Wait, he lets you know that he's still doing the rap thing and he does it very
Freddie does love this, like this kind of this R&B Freddie thing. I know he did an interview for an album and he kind of talked about that persona of R&B Freddie and how it doesn't necessarily come out in the music, but it's kind of just this persona of him. And yeah, obviously just like really cool branding of yourself, like obviously Freddie Teddy, like with the cover. I thought it was super, super cool. It was another one of those moments where by this point, I kind of been tapped into Gibbs, but it was one of those moments where I was like, oh, I'm definitely going to check that out because of like the reference of the cover. So just a guy who is, like you said, really good at branding himself, like knows.
Yeah, this is when he's more active on Twitter and before he gets banned on Instagram and he's like posting stories.
Yeah.
And like, I remember this was around the time I joked about this, but I had like tweeted something negative about Freddie Gibbs at him.
Yeah.
What I said, and he liked it. And I was like, oh shit. Like he was sitting there like searching his, he was just very online at the time. So I think that really helped his brand.
Youngest got to look both ways if he ever goes to Gary.
There is nothing for me and Gary. I'll tell you. I got no business being there. But the thing about Freddie, actually, I think I can confidently say that's the first time I ever heard Kenny Beats or heard Kenny Beats and was aware I was hearing Kenny Beats.
Right.
And yeah, what do you know? My favorite songs on there were all started off with Whoa Kenny. Like he, from Death Row to Set to Toe Tag, like. Really some of the best stuff on there.
And you gotta give props to Freddie, man, for again always just finding ways to work with dope people like him and Kenny Beats. It's not a super obvious pairing. A lot of the people that Kenny Beats work with isn't an obvious pairing, but like you gotta salute to Freddie for being able to like seek that out. And yeah, their chemistry is also really underrated. They make amazing shit together. Love his contribution to Freddie as well.
Yeah, honestly. So I'm looking at it now. I think 777 by Key comes out before this, but I wasn't tapped into it just yet.
Yeah.
So I maybe Freddie's what got me into that Key album, or at least I saw the Key album with Kenny Beats and I was like, oh, I like that producer and went back. Yes, Kenny Beats had a good strong 2018 for sure.
Oh yeah.
Oh, and he had FM that year. On a little side tangent, bro. FM, Freddie, and 777 is
The Kenny run has been amazing, man. Like kind of just coming out of nowhere too, being like an EDM dude, switching over to rap, and just killing shit.
Yeah, as I was looking up trying to like verify what I'm talking about, he's been working since 2010. He was doing beats for Smoke Dizza. And he's on like early Ab Soul work or early Schoolboy. So he was kicking around a little bit before he just explodes in 2018. Yeah, his 2018 is nuts. He did Square Up with Zach Fox in 2018, Puff Daddy with JPEG Mafia, Slick Talk for JID. He was all over the place.
Yeah, he's been working.
Mm-hmm. All right, so what's after Freddie? After Freddie, we get in the Fetty, fall. Right?
Album wise.
Yeah, we get Fetty with Currency and Alchemist. Probably the best pairing for everyone on the internet that listens to rap music.
Yeah.
Clamoring for Freddie Gibbs and Currency to do work together, and then you just throw the cherry on top of Alchemist, and you get something extremely special with Fetty.
Yeah, Fetty is crazy. We've talked about it a little bit on the collab album tier episode we did. So yeah, we're both big fans of this project. Interesting thing about this project, I remember watching a Freddie Gibbs interview after a couple years after this, and people ask him obviously about all the collabs he has with producers, and it was like, yeah, I remember when you did that collab with like Currency, would you ever do a collab with an artist again? And he was like, no, I probably wouldn't. So like, I don't know what exactly happened during the Fetty, the making of Fetty, but I love that their chemistry is great. It was funny after hearing that there are some tracks that to me are like clearly Currency songs, and like Freddie's kind of just on there, and there's clearly Freddie songs that Currency is kind of just on. It was very funny for me to notice that after. So I don't know what happened with this, but if you can't make a collab album with Currency, yeah, you're gonna have trouble with like any other artist. Currency's like the coolest dude ever.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to assume any bad blood or to say it was a shot, but I'd seen recently Freddie Gibbs like had a semi-viral clip going around where he's talking about like artists. He's like, yeah, a lot of rappers just give you like a compilation of songs and go, here you go, that's your album. And they're not really trying to make an album like they used to.
Yeah.
And if there is someone who pumps out seven collection of songs a year, it's Currency. So I could imagine that like Freddie's trying to form a sound.
Yeah.
And he's just like, nah, bro, Alchemist playing the beat, bro. Just get in there.
Yeah. I could definitely see that that kind of struggle between them. But no, the project is super great. They sound great. Like it's a perfect match. Perfect trio with Alchemist too. Alchemist provides so much.
And then after Fetty, we finally get the follow-up. It's been 5 years, which in music time is two careers. We get Bandana with Madlib. And I don't know. I mean, after Freddie and after Fetty and just like this newfound, like Gibbs is gaining steam. He was able to build off those two in a way he wasn't able to build off with Pinata.
Yeah.
And we get to Bandana. And it felt like Bandana was the biggest moment of his career at this point.
Oh, yes. So much anticipation for Bandana. I remember this coming out. I'm in college. I'm a bar nigga at this point. Like I'm listening to real hip hop. So like Bandana comes out and I'm super, super excited. I feel like there's a lot of clamor for it. And yeah, it is a big, big moment for Freddie. And it delivers, in my opinion. Hard to follow up Pinata, and I think he did it about as well as you could.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a big fan of this one. I remember Crime Pays being like an early single off it and just being amazed by that, or like
Freestyle
shit.
Yeah.
Situations, Flat Tummy T, like he's got a lot of stuff on here, and I haven't even mentioned like a crazy Pusha T verse. I think him and Pac work real well together, which
we'll get into that a little bit later, but yeah, super awesome. All the like features are really good. It's interesting, I think Flat Tummy T was actually the single for this, which is kind of interesting, the lead single at least.
Yeah, it was. Crime Pays was the second one.
Yeah, which could interesting. Like Giannis just screams single to me, but like, I don't know.
I don't know if Giannis was made yet, to be honest with
you. Because
Giannis got made around the same time the Bucks started cooking a little bit. So
yeah,
it would make sense that that was like a later addition.
But yeah, this is a beautiful album. I don't even know. Paul Maleef is probably my favorite moment on here. Like him, Push, and Killer Mike, and like being on a track with Push and Killer Mike and just not conceding to them at all, like literally just being on their level rapping just as good as them.
Yeah, and he does it again with Yasiin Bey and Black Thought. Like
that's like he is rapping on this thing. The beats are great. Like, yeah, this is a great project.
Yeah, I might go with Freestyle Shit as my favorite song.
Yeah, Freestyle Shit is crazy.
Yeah, Giannis up there too. There's a lot of good stuff on here.
Yeah, yeah.
Like Crime Pays is crazy. all of it. So then after Bandana, he digs into the well again with Alchemist, and we get Alfredo. And again, Gibbs' stock just keeps rising, and his popularity keeps rising. And yep. When we get to Alfredo, and we look at the track list, and we look at who he got to work with, I mentioned some heavy hitters before, but it felt like he was entering a league of people, and he was entering a zone that might look weird 5 years from now, if I'm being honest.
Right.
Like, we're talking about the rise of Griselda here, which he ends up having a historic fallout with that doesn't seem to be going away anytime soon. And honestly,
not at all.
I really hope it just stays at this level. It just getting beat up at Chain Snatch and nothing more.
I will say, I don't really know the background of this situation. I hope it ends.
I don't know it.
Beefing with Freddie Gibbs is something that, like, I can see it, you know, just by the way he talks and moves, I can see it. But him and Benny, two just super talented dudes, two guys who were, you know, a little older in age, kind of some of hip hop's veterans.
They've been through the ringer. And they've been through the ringer to get to the point that they're at now at their big age. And like,
there's a lot of overlap in the people that they collaborate with and people who you assume they're cool with in the music industry. So yeah, you would think, I mean, you would think that it wouldn't have gone as far as it has gone. But yeah, I just hope it kind of stops. Like, no one is enjoying this at all.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm a fan of both, and I'm really just kind of, there's got to be a lot for you to just like keep jumping me. I had to have done something crazy if you're just going to jump me like every 3 months, bro.
Yeah,
calm down, man.
Yeah, for sure. So, I mean, yeah, and it is so interesting, like on this Newest Gibbs album, him kind of being like, man, I was kind of wilding with all the shit I was talking about Jeezy, and I'm like maturing and all that shit. It is wild for him to still be kind of in some shit like this, still.
I don't know. I don't want to speak for the man, but at least from my side and what I'm seeing, it seems like he just makes an Instagram post and Benny just beats the shit out of him. He just says a tweet and he just gets his ass beat. And it's like, I get it. Like, no one's going to shut you up. But at the same time, I'm like, bro, you don't got to fight someone every time they just make a tweet about you.
Yeah. Both sides got to chill out. Alchemist has got to make a call or something. Like, all right, guys.
But all that aside, Frank Lucas, a crazy
dude. Like, and Babies and Fools. Like, both of the Griselda members are great on here. The songs are great. It is just wild to hear those songs now and just be like, man, this is the good old days of this.
Scotty Beam with Ross. I mean, yeah. Freddie by himself on 1985 or Skinny Shug. Like, this is really one of his most completed works.
Yeah, this is a no skip project right here. Pretty much all the way through Gas, Super Fire. Not really a miss on here.
Tight and short, 35 minutes, 10 tracks.
Yeah.
Gibbs does a lot of. I really appreciate that because it definitely feels like he's the type of dude that can give you 22 songs in an hour and 10 minutes.
Yeah. In early career, he was kind of more of that guy a little bit. And then I feel like as time has gone on, he's kind of transitioned to this, which is really good.
He's very self-aware.
Yeah. Yeah. Alfredo is like crazy. I remember we were talking about it with some friends and they were kind of inkling. They wanted to say that Alfredo was a classic project. I don't really feel that way. I think it's just like really good. Not to take anything away from it because it is really fucking good. Not a lot of better albums that year or really since, but yeah, really, really good project in Alfredo.
I can confidently say it might be one of his that I listen to the least off the idea of I can't listen to a single song off it. Usually when I listen to Alfredo, I play it in full.
Yeah. Yeah,
which you like, I don't always want to do a lot of the times. I don't really want to do
right.
Yeah, the like I pull more songs to listen to by themselves off other albums, but I re-listened to Alfredo today, still really hits.
And that is a compliment in and of itself, though. Like, I hear one song and I just got to play the whole thing. Like, that is a compliment in and of itself. So yeah, definitely a good project.
So then between the 2 years of Alfredo and then our album that we're talking about today, Soul Sold Separately, Gibbs signs a major label, signs with Warner Records. They start backing him. He does a show for Peacock. He does a movie. And, you know, like, he starts getting busy with stuff. So we don't really – that might be the reason we don't really see music. I think he gets engaged, too.
Yeah, he's doing a lot more, again, towards, like, the branding side, the roundedness of Freddie Gibbs as an entertainer or whatever. He gets into all that stuff.
And he's very personable, so it works for him. You know, I think he's got I don't know. Have you seen Bust Down at all, the show he did?
I have not. I've heard he's really good in it, though, actually.
Hilarious. But, like, the thing that I noticed a lot between him, like, he seemed like a Gary-ass dude. He seemed like a dude that comes from a place that, like, revered the Jacksons, because he's always in these, like, silk shirts and the button-ups, you know? Like, he doesn't really look like the rapper. Like, he doesn't look like his peers very much. And he's got this vibe, like, he's a fan of Sam Cooke, who we hear him rap about, and he's a fan of the Teddy Pendergrass that he, like, copies the album cover of. And that's kind of the lane he wants to operate. He just better as a rapper.
Like, and that is we're missing that with older rappers. One thing, like, older rappers, they love that old soul shit, man. They love that Motown era shit. Like, and yeah, Freddie just gives that vibe. like, you know, he's playing, like, old Motown shit and, like, his, you know, his old school. He exudes that energy.
Let's dig into Soul Sold Separately, man. Big fan of this one. The thing Freddie Gibbs says about every album, I mean, you can seriously go look. He tries to compare every album he did to, like, a movie, and it's always a movie that's a 80s blaxploitation. It's a 70s blaxploitation. Like, he loves that, like, cinematic feel.
Yep.
And I think he achieved that real well with Alfredo. I think he achieves that with Pinata. You know, like, he's got some real complete stuff.
Yeah.
And when we get to Soul Sold Separately, he starts adding, like, these skits and stuff, and he tries to make it that way. I didn't really get that vibe. I really got, like, a sci-fi vibe from it. I don't know if that maybe it's just the album cover with the bunny and, like, what looks like an alien spaceship crash.
Yeah, and I mean, even in some of the videos, like, I don't know if you've seen the video for Too Much, like, the skits, of course. I mean, and you mentioned earlier, you know, him just not trying to put songs together, obviously really trying to craft a whole experience. I do get a little more sci-fi, like you said, like with the, obviously with the cover, like you said, and things like that. I do get more of that. I still can't, like, completely put together everything that's going on here. Like, you get fucking Joe Rogan and, like, Jeff Ross and KD on the skits. Like,
Jeff Ross made me laugh out loud.
Yeah.
Like, I had, like, a big belly laugh. I was like, what the fuck? That, like, the last thing I expected.
Yeah. Like, you get, obviously, this overarching theme of kind of, you know, it taking place at, like, this hotel casino type of thing. All these people are looking for Gibbs. They can't seem to find him for whatever reason. But yeah, definitely a rounded piece of work. Definitely not just a collection of songs, for sure.
Yeah, and the one thing I noticed, I mean, he works so much and he gets so attached to, like, certain producers at certain points. And I think the main thing with this major label debut, I don't know if it was his decision or someone else's decision for him, but just, like, having a different producer on every album and being able to keep that same and similar sound. They all kind of tailored to what he wanted, and he didn't, like, I think that accomplishment can't go understated. It is so hard to get, like, 15 different producers all on the same page of the sound that you want. being able to craft that in a way that I feel like he usually gets attached to a Mad Lib or an Alchemist, because he's just like, I have this idea and you're the guy for this idea and we're going to do 10 of these.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, he definitely, that's the main thing with this album. He kind of expands his reach production wise. Still a familiar names like Alchemist is here. Katronaut is here. They're back for a reunion.
Mad Lib, Justice League.
Yeah. But yeah, he recruits some new names. Yeah, he recruits some new names. Seven Thomas is here. Super talented producer across the hip hop and R&B realm. Anderson .Paak does some production. Boy Wanda is on production on this thing. DJ Paul, like, there's a lot going on production here. But like we mentioned earlier, it has that theme of he is working with fucking heavy hitters. Like, he's working with the best in the game still.
He got James Blake out of a cave to come do a beat for him.
Yeah.
That's not some shit that like other rappers just get to do.
Yeah, and that was a dope one. He mentioned like he was like so geeked to do that. Apparently he was like, that's something on my bucket list. Like, I felt like I had to level up on that track, and he definitely did it. Spoiler alert, it's my favorite, one of my favorite tracks on here, one of the best songs of the year in my opinion. Like amazing production all the way through. And it was, you know, it can be hard to have a bigger production room than you're used to and to still bring it together, and he does it really, really well. Sounds really, really great.
All right, let's dig into this thing track by track. I'm like, it's too early because it's still the first weekend, so I don't want to sit and say this is my favorite album of the year, but it's definitely the one I listened to in the first 3-day span the most. I listened to the fuck out of this thing. I think I'd mentioned to you earlier, because you had asked me if I listened to it because we wanted to see if we were going to talk about it.
Yeah.
And I had like just gotten to the house right when it drops on midnight on Thursday, and like I'm half asleep, and I was like, let me just see what this Gibbs like vibe is. And to be honest with you, if it was going to be another thing like Alfredo, or if it was going to be another like Fetty or Bandana and some of the stuff he's been doing lately, I probably would have checked out and just like, I'll get to it when I get to it kind of thing.
Yeah.
Some disrespect for Gibbs, but like, Lee's looking at me crazy right now. No. Do that shit.
No, I get it though. Like, this was the moment for him to step out of that. It's the major label debut. The checkbook might be a little bigger. You're kind of spending someone else's dime to get some of these features and producers. You do that. That's part of why you do that as Fred Gibbs.
He could have stayed in. We've reached the pinnacle with that other style. So now, let's see. And this beginning production by Super Miles and Swoop.
Yeah.
Just like 30 seconds in, I just stopped it. I was like, all right, if this is the way we're going, I'm going to need to listen to this tomorrow morning.
Like, yeah, Kelly Price on it, man. Again, back to him being that OG.
Yeah.
You're 40 plus. They know about some Kelly Price, man. Like, they know what it is with Kelly Price.
She loses her mind on it, too.
Yeah, super powerful. Matches the production super well.
Amazing. Yeah. This beat really reminded me, like, my first initial reaction to it was just very Just Blaze-like.
Yeah.
It starts and it builds momentum, and then it reaches like this climax. And at that point, you hear Kelly Price singing her damn soul out.
Oh, yeah.
And it really sets the tone for the album. And it got me excited for it. Like I said, I stopped it. I was like, all right, I got to like give this a little more attention than just like playing it while I'm half asleep.
Right.
And it ends up, I think this might be my favorite beat on here. One of my favorite beats on here.
It's gorgeous.
Real good stuff. Then we go to the Alchemist song, Blackest in the Room. There's like a little bit of a beat switch in Blackest in the Room. I feel like when he links up with Alchemist, you're gonna get a lot of words. A whole lot of words.
And that's,
that one's a lot of rapping.
Yeah, especially the second half, you kind of get like, again, that trademark Gibbs flow, kind of him speeding it up. Kind of just blacking out for real. You kind of get like the trademark Gibbs kind of like conspiratorial, like him, like Jeff Ford when he hit Gaddafi up. Like, you kind of hear some of that throughout, like just classic Gibbs. Like,
a lot of problematic stuff on here.
Yeah, there's definitely a good amount of that. It's Gibbs though. You kind of know what you're getting into.
I mean, keep your vaccines off.
Yeah. Yeah, you already know what's going on. I'm surprised he didn't have KD mention Kyrie on the fucking
stand. I'm surprised he didn't have Kyrie himself.
Legit.
Yeah, side note, I don't know if Kyrie likes rap music. If you told me Kyrie was not a rap music fan.
Not a chance, man. He's like, bro, why they be saying the N-word and that shit? Like, it was Kangs, man. Like, you know? But yeah, like Blackest in the Room, I really like. It's that classic Alchemist and Freddie feel. Like, yeah, it sounds like it could have came from the Alfredo sessions, but shit, super, super great. And it does still fit well on here. Good track.
Then we go into an unusual pairing, Pain and Strife with Offset, which I love this fucking song. Like, this one that I went back to, like, a lot. Sometimes I make some short drives where I only got time for, like, a song or two. So,
yeah,
Pain and Strife a lot this weekend, just playing that real quick.
With
a crazy verse.
Yeah. I mean, you obviously get, like, the Bone Thugs kind of reference on there, kind of like him acknowledging another Midwest legendary act. You get a really cool Offset verse again, him kind of matching like that Gibbs flow. Beat is hard as hell, like beat just fucking bangs, and yeah, really, really dope track.
Yeah, I mean, the Offset says some crazy, like, just to start out the verse, he says some shit like, I got the Lamborghini and I could have got the Bentley, but I got better taste.
yeah,
that's a hell of a brag.
I like said on here. It's the features are, as a whole, pretty interesting, because it is rounded. Like, you get kind of like that.
It's Gibbs rounded all, and it feels label pushed.
Yeah, I mean,
more
you get some of the, like, you know, this is the old head dude. Like, you get the Kelly Price, you get the Music Soul Child, you get the Set, you get the Money Bag. Him and Money Bag weirdly kind of makes, in my head, makes a lot of sense. Weirdly enough, him and Offset is interesting. That does feel like a Warner being like, hey, can you do something with Offset, please? But it works really well. It's a really good song. I enjoy it.
The next one is Zipper Bags, Kay Trinata reunion there.
Yes, sir.
This one, like, he gets a little more personal.
Yeah. A little slower cut, too.
Yeah, it's a slower cut. I mean, like, Gibbs always isn't afraid to kind of just, like, really dig in and talk about, like, whatever grind or whatever shit he's going through and how he gets there.
Yeah.
And, you know, we start to hear that a little bit with this one.
Yeah. Yeah, Zipper Bags is dope. Like, I love the sample on there. I think there's actually, like, a 3-6 sample on there, which is cool, obviously, with him getting DJ Paul later. Yeah, kind of him, like, getting a little more reflective. This isn't one of my favorite songs on here. I do, like, I still like it, though. I think it fits within the album pretty well.
Let me be clear. There is not a song I dislike enough to skip.
Yeah.
On here.
Yeah, yeah.
There are some that I clearly play more than others, but.
Yeah. And also, one thing about this one that I say I really enjoy is the hook. I think the hook on here is, like, pretty cool. Like, he just stacks his vocals super, super well on the hook, and it goes pretty well. Some, like, the verses are kind of just cool. I enjoy him getting into that side of his story, but the hook on here is noticeable. Pretty good one.
The next one is probably the one I played the most.
Yeah. Let me use the bathroom real quick before we get into too much, because that's going to be a dope combo. Perfect. All right. Sorry, had to get a clear mind to talk about too much. I was like, let me get right. Too much, man. I'll let you go first on too much.
Yeah, it's the one I play the most. I think it's the most accessible of his songs. The closest to being like a single or something that would reach more people.
Yeah.
Him and Moneybag's an interesting pairing, but like you said, it makes so much sense. And when you hear this song, you see why it makes so much sense. A lot of words, but it doesn't feel like he's saying a whole lot, you know? There's one thing about Gibbs that I noticed when I went back this week and I was listening to some of his prior stuff and, like, getting into this album. He's always said a lot of words.
Yeah. Yeah,
and it always felt like sometimes he had throwaway lines just to fit his flow and kind of keep up.
Yeah,
and that all gets eliminated on this album, and I think Too Much is a good show of that.
Yeah, Too Much is crazy all the way around. He's kind of in the traditional Gibbs flow that we've known for a couple years. But like you said, pretty much every line hits. Gibbs matches the flow like crazy. The hook, I actually enjoy. I've heard some people say it's like kind of simplistic, but I enjoy the hook a lot. Like, I think it's kind of catchy, and it fits with the
complaint.
It fits with the verses so well.
Yeah,
like the flow of the hook right into both verses is just super crazy to me. Love the hook here. It's some of Gibbs, like, weirdly some of his best hook work. Like, he doesn't do hooks like this very much. But I like the hook a lot. Fits in his verses really well. Like, he, like, there's an extra level of intensity here. Moneybag matches it. And yeah, it's a great formula. Great, great song right here.
The next one we get after Too Much is Lobster Omelet. And
yeah, also Moneybag having a year, bro.
Like, Moneybag's always having a year.
Moneybag is rapping his ass off, man.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
So I don't know if this happened earlier in the project, it might have, but this is the first time, or this is the one that like stands out to me the most that I remember. But I love the old school mixtape type of just letting the end of a song play into the beginning of a new song, and just like that choppy editing, and that happens with Lobster Omelet, and it kind of flows together, and Jake One does a good job of like fading it out and into his beat. Just good stuff from Freddie and Ross here.
Yeah, him and Ross actually have a decent amount of songs together. They had a single come out.
Ross works with everyone, man.
Yeah.
Like, Ross literally, he works with everyone. It just depends on the type of verse you're going to get.
Yeah. Yeah. Love the beat on this one. Again, like, getting Jake One is awesome. Like, I'm a huge Jake One fan. We're both huge Tuxedo fans. We love Jake One. Cool. Like, was super cool to see him on here. And with Ross, I was like, that makes a lot of sense. It's a great pairing. Like, titles Lobster Omelet, Rick Ross is on there. You already know what type of shit you're about to get into. Good Ross verse too. Like, I enjoy it. Pretty solid track.
There's a crazy Freddie line in here that like like, we all know rappers lie, but there's sometimes they say some shit where you're like, you know what, maybe they aren't lying. And he's got a line where he says, I shot that bitch in the chest, man. I knocked his shoulder out of
his shoulder.
And I was like, yeah, that's like some shit you don't make. Like, that's some shit you see happen, or some shit that happened to you. Like, that's not a whole lot of imagination coming out there.
Now, there's a funny ass gif of Freddie Gibbs. He was actually on Rogan, funny enough. And he was like, yeah, dude, I shot a crackhead with a Tech 9. He just got up and walked away. Yeah, Gibbs has a lot of those. Yeah, good cut. Lobster Omelet, like, I enjoy it. Not probably not one of my favorites. I don't want to say underwhelmed, but it's a good song. It's a decent song.
Yeah, I'm not going to say underwhelmed, but it's not nearly one that I go back to as much as the others, which is kind of crazy for how much I like the two of these guys and the two of them together.
Yeah.
What's after Lobster Omelet? We got
Space Rabbit.
Space Rabbit. Woo-wee. Space Rabbit is, yeah. This one's Jahan Sweet and Boy Wanda.
Yep.
Rajat Shayad. I don't know. A lot of production on here. Yeah. Three dudes.
I just credit it to Wanda.
Just Boy Wanda did all the work.
Yeah.
Yeah, this one is like kind of a reminiscing one a little more. Yep. It's very classic Gibbs. You know, Skinny Shug Knight comes out again.
Yep.
And MJ lines, like, very, very traditional Gibbs on here.
Yeah, I do think this is one where he's kind of trying to paint. This is kind of one that tries to paint like a big picture that kind of fits in with the rest of the project. Even kind of again, that reminds me just how long Gibbs has been around. He's like, I remember when I wanted to be G-Unit. Like, that was a line that really stuck with me. Like, mm-hmm. he really has been around since the earliest of the 2000s. He's been around for so long. And for him to be rapping with Boy Wanda on a song in 2022 is just so crazy. And Jeff Ross is here too, as well. Like, it's
yeah, a crazy. The Jeff Ross thing made me laugh so fucking hard. And then we go into Feel No Pain, yeah, which is like him and Pac work extremely well together, but the Raekwon verse on here, crazy.
Yeah, yeah. This song was weirdly a slow burn for me. It kind of took me a while to really get into it. This is like, we haven't said like our overarching thoughts on the project yet. This is where I think the album really, really like turns up. Mm-hmm. Like, I think from here on it's really locked in. And yeah, I love this one. The Raekwon verse is crazy. Like, Anderson .Paak's kind of weird, kind of like slurry tone on the hook. Yeah, I really enjoy it.
He sounds drunk on here, but in a good way.
Yeah. Like I said, it was a slow burn for me, but once I heard it and I guess I kind of like caught up with the tone, I was like, oh, this is really good.
I think, like, the thing that makes it weird to me, I don't know if Anderson .Paak should have had the first verse.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll probably rearrange that a little bit because,
yeah,
I feel like I spent a whole lot of time waiting for Gibbs to come rap. When I feel like .Paak does better as like a bridge in what he does later on with like Raekwon. So.
Yeah, yeah. This is one I really like. This is what, like I said, it was a slow burn for me, but it's one of my favorites on here now, and I think it really starts a great run of songs that are coming next.
Oh yeah, because Rabbit Vision is what I wanted Gibbs to do his entire career. Yeah. It's the one I was waiting for. I mean, the Justice League beat is perfect. Gibbs talks his like mafioso shit early on, yeah, and you hear him talk about like taking an oath to the family, and later when he talks about his religion, like he took an oath to religion, like,
yeah,
he keeps that. We see the little vulnerability where he talks about him and Jeezy and like how he wish he could have talked it out and like kind of paying his repentance there.
Yeah.
And it's just this one long verse where he gets it all out.
And yeah.
End it with Joe fucking Rogan.
Yeah. This is one where I was like, and you know, we kind of talked about when we talked about Pinata, like where that was kind of a turning point where he really decided what artist he was going to be like for the next decade to come. He could have really went left if he wanted to, but he did Shadow of a Doubt and You Only Live Twice. Like, this is something that just on a major label debut is kind of crazy. There's just nothing about this that is seeking like popularity or whatever.
Yeah.
This is classic, you know, early mid 2000s hip hop. Obviously, like you said, Justice League is on here. Not really a hook to be found. Like, this is just him like pouring everything out. Yeah, it's gorgeous, man. The beat is amazing. The raps are great. Joe Rogan is here. Joe Rogan is
here. I got mushrooms. I got EMT. I got, like, it all started making sense. And then he was like, I got Kevlar out, underwear, yeah, extra bullets. And I'm like,
yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, dope track nonetheless.
And right into, like, one of the most surprising songs on here. When I saw DJ Paul was going to be on this album, I was insanely intrigued because I just didn't know, like, I didn't know what to expect. And really what I feel like we got is Freddie Gibbs got a feature on a 3-6 song.
Yeah, I'll just say it, this is my favorite song on the project. Like, they just mesh so well together. DJ Paul just sounds great. I love this production. Obviously kind of has echoes of that kind of early mid 2000s era, kind of like a menacing thing that we've seen throughout the album. But Gibbs just sounds amazing. Like, I love his flow in here. It's not like the fast ass flow. He's kind of just rapping at like a mid pace. DJ Paul is fucking amazing. Like, period, end of sentence. He's fucking amazing. He kills it. And I love their chemistry on here.
Insane beat. It feels like you dropped Gibbs back in like 2007, 2006 again. It was just like, here you go. Hop on this song with us. Real big fan. PYS. And then that goes right into Dark Hearted, which is the James Blake.
This was the single, right?
Was there a single? Honestly,
I think it was this. I think this came out before. There were a couple singles, apparently. Yeah. Too Much was a single. Dark Hearted was a single. PYS. Damn, there were like five singles, six. But yeah, this was a single. Because I remember specifically hearing this one and being like, what the fuck? He's not going to do better than this. I immediately put this on my, like, yo, this is one of the better songs of the year. I think he topped it with PYS, but this thing is amazing too. I really, really love it.
Yeah. And it, you know, it's a vehicle for him to talk about just violence, just the whole song. Like, there's not a whole lot of levity to it. Keeps in theme with the Dark Hearted. And coming off something as grimy as PYS, it fits in perfectly.
Yeah.
I really, really like the sequencing on this album.
Yeah.
I think it really flows together well. And again, can't stress how fucking crazy he's able to do it with a different producer on every song. Like, a lot of the times we hear these albums come and it's because there's like one central producer doing a lot of it, or there's breaks of like several, there's like four or five producers. Maybe one comes in and does a guest spot, but for the most part, it's someone really controlling the show.
Yeah. And yeah, he does a great job of it as someone who doesn't do it a lot. He did do good. Yeah. And it's something that he mentioned kind of talking about it. He cares about albums, which is another thing about him being a product of that era. Like I've said so many times, like those guys do just naturally care about albums more than newer rappers, because back then that's all you had. Like, if you didn't have like elite great albums, and like, what are you as an artist? So yeah. It's just something that
people aren't buying too many 99 cent singles. You're not getting a whole lot of money with
it.
The next track is the one with Pusha T and Seven Thomas and Sean Mumberger, and Jaheim Sweet again pops up. Gold Rings, man. You go about this one first.
I mean, him and Push again, man. Like, Push has had an interesting year. Had an album that I think when it came out was in a lot of people's, oh man, this is gonna be one of the better albums of the year. Kind of faded a little bit in my opinion. Still a dope record, but yeah, Push has had an interesting year. Him and Freddie are more natural. Like, we talked about how Gibbs and Moneybagg is something that makes sense, but you kind of have to squint your eyes. Freddie and Push is just fucking natural. Match made in heaven. Anytime they get together, you already know it's going to be great. Interesting beat here. It sounds a lot like a Push beat to me. Freddie does a pretty decent job of molding into it, but I love what Push does on here. Love, love, love the Push verse.
Yeah, the Freddie verse is hysterical to me.
Yeah.
Bro, he's talking like, yeah, don't worry. Like, he just ruined this young woman's life. And he's like, damn, I thought we were gang. He said, I'll put the car in her name and I'm fucking up her credit.
Like this one for sure.
Love that verse. And then after that, we go to Grandma's Stove with Music Soul Child. What are your Music Soul Child thoughts before we dig into this? Are you a So Beautiful guy? You a Teach Me guy? Just Friends? What's the vibe on Soul Child here?
I saw that Music Soul Child was on this thing. I mean, music, like, I saw Soul Child and Kelly Price were on here. And I was like, Music Soul Child and Kelly Price are on the same album in 2022, and it's not from an R&B artist. I was like, what the fuck is going on? But yeah, I love Soul Child. Like, he's one of my favorites from that era. Like, his debut is like one of the best debut R&B albums I don't want to say ever, but I would say of like that decade of the past like 15, 20 years. He's amazing. He sounds fucking beautiful on here. Yeah, I love this track. It's one of my favorites too. Very, very, very good. One of my favorites for sure.
Yeah, one of the bright spots. Can't like stress enough how good Music Soul Child is at just the singing thing.
Yeah.
It's one of the longer songs on here.
Yeah.
A lot of these songs are like 2 minutes, 3 minutes long. Like Gibbs kind of gets to the point and gets out, but this one kind of takes his time.
This is another one of those slower joints.
Yeah, I feel like he mentioned a few times on this album about like, I don't know about like struggling with addiction, but just his obsession with numbing his pain with drinking and smoking and a lot of other stuff. And
yeah,
this one feels like it really digs into that opposed to some of the other ones.
Yeah. Yeah. This is definitely one that I'll be sticking with for a while. Sounds amazing.
The next one is a reunion with Madlib, and again, Gibbs, just hilarious. CIA gave us crack, Instagram, and AIDS.
Yeah. This is the Gibbs we all know and love.
You know, you get a little bit of the conspiracy out.
Yeah.
You get him talking about trying to fuck the Jagged Edge.
And I know that's a fact. I know Gibbs was driving around with women in his car playing some Jagged Edge. I just know that's a fact.
The only thing I don't believe about that is that it was Jagged Edge. I feel like it was something older. Yeah, it was something very old for sure. He was definitely listening to something. Jagged Edge. Maybe Jagged Edge was like the modern stuff. He was like, all right, I'll put
it. Yeah, he's like, fine. Other than that, all Temptations.
Yeah, but a little throwback. He mentions fucking up the count off Shadow of Doubt. So when he was made that, he didn't have any Audemars yet. Yeah. You know, gives his respects to Madlib and Alchemist. And yeah, just at the end, CIA, they gave us crack, Instagram, and AIDS. Like it did.
Yeah, like you get kind of like the behind the scenes of it actually getting said and being like, oh shit, that's what we're going to do. That's why I'm going to name the song.
Yeah.
This is a good one. And this is a cool one for like him and Madlib. Mm-hmm. It feels like kind of a celebration of all that they've done. Because it does sound like classic Madlib and Gibbs. So to me, it does feel like a celebration. I love how he did that with him and Alchemist. Like, even though I'm getting other producers, I'm kind of trying to make this whole thing, I'm still going to bring the gang through and we're still going to make dope, dope songs. So,
two of the stronger songs on here, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Funny, he just fucking shoots a shot at YK Osiris for no reason.
Again, the Gibbs we know and love. He gonna just talk shit about a random rapper. And like Gibbs probably don't even I feel like Gibbs don't even listen to any music. So how is he just tapped into all this shit? Like he's always able to just make fun of something
all day and just looks at memes. Yeah. Like, he's legitimately like a meme king, and the shit is funny because he's 40. Like he's not like Zach Fox or Thundercat that kind of like grew up on the internet era. He just kind of just like popped in at 34 on Twitter. It was like, hey, this shit funny, bro. Oh, yeah, just kinda... yeah. Also funny that Joe Rogan's not on the song where he talks about being silenced on Instagram.
Literally. Yeah.
Yeah. And then that's the album, but then we get a bonus track, and the bonus track is just fucking produced by DJ Dahi.
Shout out to Dahi.
Featuring Scarface. And this, like, we talked about how it felt like Gibbs was lifted, or at least I did. I said, like, felt like Gibbs was lifted and put on a 3-6 song for DJ Paul. And this one feels like he got lifted up and he was just put on, like, an old Scarface record. Like, or something. This beat made for Scarface. Gibbs joins in effortlessly.
Getting Scarface just to do a deluxe on your album is so amazing. And I'm interested in the like the reason it's designated as a bonus. That's always like interesting to me, especially in this era. Because there's like not like special edition CDs, so you're kind of doing it just because. But I love this track, dude. Like It's another one that's one of my favorites. Like, it's probably in my top three. Scarface is great on here. I was just so surprised listening to it for the first time because I think I hadn't seen this feature, like, listening through the album. So I just heard his voice and I was like, what the fuck? Like, it kind of just came out of nowhere. And yeah, love his verse. Love this beat. Like you said, it's really just like a time capsule one, and it's awesome. I love it.
Yeah. I don't know. Let's speculate a little bit on the bonus thing. Cause I, like you, I'm a sicko and I was thinking the same fucking thing. I was like, does this mean that like it was not something he wanted on the album, but it was too good to leave off? Is it like a marketing tactic just to be like, all right, if you don't want to listen to the whole album, here's a bonus track with Scarface? Like, I don't know what the deal is with that.
It is interesting. And I do wonder, it's an album on a major label. They love doing the deluxe thing now. I wonder if that will be something that happens on this. I remember he did the interview promoting this, and he talked about features. And I could have sworn he said a name or two that wasn't on this edition. So I don't know if there's going to be like a deluxe or anything. But yeah, the bonus designation was super weird to me.
If there's a deluxe and it's not up to the par with the rest of this, I'm going to be so fucking mad. And I'm going to fight deluxe albums for like the end of time. All right, like a little side tangent here. Am I crazy or was My Turn by Little Baby like one of the first ones to like reintroduce the deluxe, and it felt like the only one that worked, and then the rest of the deluxes just I don't know.
Deluxe thing is pretty interesting in general because like, okay, I get it, it's the week after. You want to retroactively get streams to the old songs, bring some new songs in to get more streams. I do get it. I feel like there is like a lack of creativity there. I feel like record executives, artists, they should think, and this is kind of getting into like nerd music business stuff, but I think they should reconsider how they do that. Because I do think there is a way to make it, to do it right. And I just don't think it gets done right for the most part nowadays. I know you mentioned My Turn. Wanna was another one for me, and again, that's like a couple years back, so it's like, it doesn't really get done right a lot.
Wanna was a good, I think Wanna was before My Turn, so Wanna was a good one.
But it doesn't get done right a lot, which I just think it could be.
Once we got to the fucking Lil Uzi Vert just released 14 new songs as a deluxe. That's where we just lost the meaning and the intention, all that stuff. I mean, as far like, what I remember when I was younger was like a lot of the deluxes were just like singles that were added for like Japan or something.
Yeah.
A lot of the time it was just like sample clearances were the main reason for that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know. Not everything needs a deluxe. I really hope they don't do a deluxe for this.
And everything really does not need a deluxe. Like in a, like sometimes some of the stuff I hear is deluxe. It's like, maybe I'll just do this before and like have more single, like do more singles that aren't on the album.
Give us EPs that lead up.
And that's something that Freddie did too. I think some of the singles leading up to this weren't on the album. Like I know him and Ross did a track last year that wasn't on the album. Him and Schoolboy had that song. Pack. Yeah. Like do that. Put out stuff before that's not on, that might not, may or may not be on the album, just to build some hype. But the deluxe is after, it's kind of just whatever at this point.
He had Black Illuminati with Jada Kiss, Ice Cream with Rick Ross.
Yeah.
I think I can't tell if this Demise one with Ransom is his or Ransom's. I think it's Ransom's.
Yeah, I think that's a Ransom joint.
Yeah. So, like, he was doing a few of these just to... and Big Boss Rabbit was another one.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think he was putting some stuff out to, like, introduce himself as a Warner artist now. So that was a lot of it, but... Yeah, man, love this album. One of my favorite Freddie ones. I'm gonna let it marinate before I start making some bold claims, but it is up there for one of my favorite albums of the year.
Yeah, it's just another solid one from Gibbs, man. Like he has just been doing this for again like a legit decade at this point, consistently just rising with each project and staying to his like core as an artist.
I don't know if anyone still listening has not listened to Freddie Gibbs yet. Oh, if you haven't listened to the album,
you're a fucking sicko. If you like it, yo, who's putting this? Like, you're fucking sick.
Fuck that. Thank you for listening.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
But yeah, the thing I would say is I think this is his most accessible album. I don't know if it's his best album. I think that's still between like Pinata, Bandana, and Alfredo.
Yeah.
Whatever argument you want to make there. But I think this is the one you can show to people for the reasons me and Lee were like, listen, you know, like he's not locked in on one sound with one producer. He's kind of moving around, but he still keeps like that same, like it still feels like Freddie Gibbs, but you know, he's moving around with different sounds and experimenting with different stuff. He's working with some bigger name artists, people that are a little less barsy, and
yeah,
kind of get to work with them. So
yeah, it's definitely him really stepping into contemporary hip hop. He had kind of been doing stuff on his own terms and was still really successful, obviously got the Grammy nom, kind of doing it his own way. He's still doing it his way, but he kind of puts his toe a little bit further into what's going on, kind of on the more traditional hip-hop side of mainstream hip-hop. And he does it well. Really, really good project. There's been a lot of really good hip-hop records this year. I don't know exactly where it stands for me, but a really good record nonetheless. Really, really, really enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was sold separately.
Yeah.
Oh, let me ask you, what was your favorite voicemail?
Jeff Ross was definitely the funniest. KD was a funny one because I was just like, I mean, it really, like, KD is just a real hip hop head, so I just imagine him DMing like Freddie Gibbs and like Currency and all these like types of rappers, like, yo man, I'm in your city and the game just ended, like, you want to go get dinner or something? Like, you want to go talk about like fucking Jake One Beats? Like, I just imagine KD doing that shit. So yeah, I think the KD one was probably my favorite.
Yeah, I mean, the Jesus one is kind of funny. I know he had his mom do one too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm probably going with Jeff Ross. Just because
that one was funny.
Like, any comedian in the world, how did he, like, I'm assuming those two have hung out together and Gibbs thought he was hilarious. And
yeah,
Ross, goofy ass, probably thought Gibbs was like the funniest person he ever met too.
Yeah, really, you know what's funny? Because I heard that and I was like, okay, I know this dude's voice. And then I Googled Jeff Ross and I was like, okay, I know his face, but I was like, how do I know Jeff Ross? But like, I knew who he was. So yeah, that was a funny one.
Yeah, I don't. They like, it makes sense for them to be friends when I really think about it, but it was not one I was expecting at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah.
Don't break anything it, you want to talk about before we head out? Any new music you want to mention?
This past weekend was pretty heavy. I was a big fan of the Shy Girl project. Kind of for the if you want to text a girl with like a nose ring, like Shy Girl is probably a good one that you would want to like throw in your playlist. If you want to just like sneak it, let her know that you're listening to Shy Girl, that's a good one. I was a really big fan of that record. Low key, one of my favorites of the year. And it's still been Ari Lennox, man. It's been Ari Lennox for the past couple of weeks. What a year for Dreamville. I've been saying that they arguably put out the best hip hop and R&B record within like 3 weeks of each other. Had a pretty successful compilation earlier in the year. Like, it has been like a really great artistic year for Dreamville, and I gotta salute them for it. So that Ari, Tia Corinne is another one. Tia Corinne had a crazy one. She's got a record with Tony Snow that was really, really good on there. So yeah, it's been a lot. It's been a lot, and it's still more to come. So
yeah, for me, I listened to the Kenny Mason a little bit earlier in the week. After the Gibbs came out, I kind of like cut everything off. But yeah, Roddy Ricch back with a single that sounded pretty good. Trying to think if there's anything since we last talked I've really been digging into.
Yeah, it's been a couple weeks.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I was on a Dom Kennedy kick for a while, so I wasn't really listening
to music. But Jesse Reyes low-key had a good album for your like Starbucks coffee enjoyers and like your tote bag wearers. The Jesse Reyes album was pretty good for your if you like own Crocs or whatever. But yeah, Jesse Reyes album was dope. It's been a pretty good week. Pretty good couple weeks.
All right.
I think that's all we got for you. Shout out to Gibbs. Bringing us back together with a dope record. Thank y'all for tuning in.
Go listen to it as soon as I hang up this call.
Yeah, man, go check it out. Thank you for tuning in. Hope you have a good week. We will see you hopefully next week. Soon, regardless. Thank you for tuning in. And yeah, have a good one.
Yep. Rate, review, give us 5 stars.
Indeed.